Amen. Isn't our Lord wonderful? He took away my sore throat and he's lent it to David. What a faithful God we have. Well, although I have been spiritually led to Matthew 22, there is need for me to speak just a little first concerning happenings within the previous chapter. Chapter 21. In verse 23 of that chapter, the authority of our Lord is being questioned. It reads, Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. By what authority are you doing these things? They asked. And who gave you this authority? Now, brothers and sisters, we of course know from where that authority came. Jesus just happened to be the Son of God, and there is no higher authority. But they, as ever, did not accept such. They wanted to convict our Lord and throw him in jail, awaiting sentence. However, they also feared the large and enthusiastic crowds that came to listen to his every word. And it came about that Jesus brought before those priests and elders a couple of parables, the one about the two sons and the one about the tenants, which baffled them somewhat, and led our Lord from verse 42 of chapter 21 to ask of them, have you never read the scriptures? Thank you. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And now take this bit in. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. Strong words indeed. But let me now encourage you, dear faithful believing Christians of this fellowship, we can be and should be those people who will produce its fruit. Are we not called upon to do so? We certainly are. We have been called to serve our Lord and Master. In fact, all true Christians are called to serve our King. Yet I need and wish to encourage you even more, because I shall give mention this morning to some very strong matters that just might, for some, raise inner concerns and anxieties concerning our own individual worthiness as disciples. And thus it is that I wish to remind all of us of our Father's merciful love. Just as the Apostle Paul said, we all sin. None of us are perfect, and God knows everything about each one of us. And yet, he still loves us. Only his son Jesus walked this earth in absolute perfection. We stand, you and I, as the beautiful old hymn says, just as we are without one plea. And yet I am confident that the Father, our Father who is in heaven, loves this little fellowship. He loves us for the way in which we seem to stand firmly together in praise and worship, and also with love and respect for each other, and in the understanding that we are of his church. Cheriton Pentecostal Church is not our church. We belong to God. It is his church. It's about his will, not our will. Amen? So I would like to invite you now to open your Bibles to Matthew 22 so that we can read those first 14 verses. And oh, what a message they carry. It too is a parable, and it speaks of the likes of us, you and I, and how we as Gentiles originally came unto him, whilst his own people turned their backs, preferring darkness over light. So Matthew 22, 1 to 14. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been slaughtered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized the servants, ill-treated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city." Now, about these next verses. "Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' But the man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" Brothers and sisters, this parable that I just brought before you is of very wide signification. even today. It is so important for us here of these times, just as important as it was for those of those times. Because the likes of we were those anyone you find who were hanging about on those street corners. Our line is mainly from a Gentile heritage, I presume. Now I need to explain something. I last preached these verses from Matthew 22 way back at the end of the last century. It's a long time ago, isn't it? Although I do also recall perhaps a couple of years back using this parable in one of my Bible detective sessions. But sadly, it's happening all over again. In these modern times, there are becoming again so many who are also refusing the Lord's wondrous and glorious invitation. Being blunt about it, so many today have walked away from the church and even from Jesus. They will not allow their inner souls to become dressed accordingly. They feel no need of church. They feel no need of God. What happened in those verses we read is happening again. But this time there are Gentiles of Christian heritage who are declining the invitation and walking away. And yet their ancestors, mums, dads, grandparents, and all of that were probably all of the Christian faith. Let's take a deeper look into those verses from Matthew 22. Those invitations had first gone out to his people, God's own chosen people of those times, the Jews. But we must not confine it just to them of those times. This short parable is full of heart-searching lessons for we of today. It is a spiritual message which speaks to us in so many ways. Let us then take note within our minds and our hearts that the King referred to here is God the Father, who wished to present his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to his people. And they, his people, were invited to a magnificent feast, if only they should come accordingly dressed. And there was much more than food to absorb within those earthly bodies, because also offered to them was a complete provision for all the needs of a human soul. There awaited for them, if only they would accept, absolutely everything required to relieve spiritual hunger and spiritual thirst. The Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, could take them then and us now deeply into union with himself, to restore them and us into his family, to become his children, God's children. Brothers and sisters, what a privilege. What a privilege is ours, if only. He wanted to clothe them, and he wants to clothe us, with his own righteousness, to give us places in his kingdom, to lead us into becoming faultless through his own sacrificed blood. His blood which was shed at Calvary for the likes of you and I. He took our sins into himself. He paid the price for the likes of you and I. And therein lies the problem, dear friends. Thinking of that verse 14, how few really is few? I personally don't know, but surely it has to be less than 50%. Maybe 30%, or even 20, 10, or 5, or frightfully even lower. Brothers and sisters, I do not know how few is few, but this I know, and I'm aware of church attendances of all denominations are falling, especially within the lands of we better off countries. And why is this happening? Does higher income levels and democratic lifestyles lower our need of God? And would being poor lead naturally to us needing Him more and thus crying out for Him to intercede in our lives? Can all of us really be too busy to allow Him into our hearts and our lives? Do any of us feel that we are so self-sufficient that we have no need at all? We are well able to take care of our own lives, aren't we? Well, if anyone has that feeling, allow me to say this to you. We are never self-sufficient and needless of God. We never shall be. We fall and stumble along, and we always shall fall and stumble. Does self-sufficiency keep sickness out of our lives or out of the lives of those we love? No, it does not. Throughout our lives, there will always come anxieties and troubles. None of us has been promised an easy ride. However, and here's a bit of good news. I can boast, and as Christians, so can you, that whatever torments have come our way or will come our way, we have someone who we can call on. And this thought truly lifts me. And you know His name anyway. His name is Jesus. And whenever or wherever or even however we have fallen or will fall, believe me, He will pick us up with grace, love, and mercy and set us back once more on His pathway of righteousness. What a faithful God we have. What a faithful God we have. What a faithful God we have. The words of the second verse of that lovely hymn read like this. Lord of mercy, You have heard my cry. Through the storm You're the beacon, my song in the night. In the shelter of Your wings, hear my heart's reply, singing, what a faithful God have I. Now I know this is unusual, but I've asked Brother Bob to come forward at this point, back to his piano, because I want us to sing this beautiful and meaningful hymn right now. So will you help me by standing in fellowship together and hardly sing along with me because I haven't got a singing voice at the moment. But what a faithful God have I. What a faithful God have we.
What a faithful God have I.
faithful in every way. Lord of mercy, you have come, my cry, through the storm, you're the beacon, my song in the night. In the shelter of your wings, hear my heart's reply, singing, what a faithful God have I. Faithful God have I. What a faithful God. What a faithful God have I. Faithful in every way. Lord, of sorrow granted peace from heaven, let me comfort those who suffer with the comfort you have given. I will tell of your loving love, oh, as long as I live, singing, what a faithful God have I. Faithful God have I. What a faithful God. What a faithful God have I. Every way. Thank you and bless you all for being my reliable, lovely friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Please be seated again. Let's get back to those verses that we read. They carry so much power, if only we will accept them and consider the depth of their meaning. Just as Jesus our Lord wishes for us to do. Think about this again. Our Lord offers to take us into union with himself, to restore us into his family, to be his. He wants to clothe us with his own righteousness, to give us a place in his kingdom. And he really, really does want to present you and I to his Father as faultless. Even though we ourselves know that we are really not faultless. He died on the cross and took away our sins. Matthew 22 and those 14 parable verses offer food for the hungry. They bring back joy to those who mourn. They offer home to the outcast and loving friendships to those who feel lost. They really can turn lives around. They are surely glad tidings for all of us, if only we within ourselves will dress our hearts and our souls just as he wills for us to do. And allow me, please, to just read a little more from the Holy Bible. John 4, 7 to 12. Dear friends, I think it's 1 John, dear. You've got John up there, I think. 1 John. Never mind, darling. It's okay. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an anointed sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. May these words scatter blessings throughout this little fellowship of ours, and then even wider if they can. Brothers and sisters, let us ride through the storms of life together, because together we stand firm and we stand strong. Let's always be here for each other as really true brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us stand by each other with love and respect, because part of that chosen few, eternity awaits. And I think we are part of those chosen few, but it is not for me to make judgment. And when we come together and pray that prayer the Lord taught us, let us remember that the opening words are, "Our Father." You say it and you pray it, and I say it and I pray it. We're all praying to the same God, which of course surely means that we are related anyway. Therefore, we must be family. Our Father is in heaven. He is Almighty God. And he gave us his Son, our Lord Jesus. So allow me just to say this. Our race and our culture are meaningless in this family that we belong to. So our education levels and physical strength levels and bank account levels, we all have immense value through the eyes of our Lord. He loves us. We all have various life skills, all useful for each other. And some of you are even blessed with spiritual gifts. And may such gifts continue to grow within this little fellowship. I pray for that. Therefore, as a Christian family, we are amazingly strong and talented if we all become one. Not necessarily individually, but together. And it is so important that we remain so. As said, this church belongs to God the Father. He is the one who is responsible for us being here. We have come here from many different countries and from many different backgrounds because just perhaps it is here where God wants us to be. Perhaps we are chosen to be here, chosen to be together to serve his purpose here together. So brothers and sisters, stand firm in these trying times. David mentioned that right at the beginning, because together, through the blessings of God, we can become a church of amazing discipleship, heading towards everlasting victory and serving our Lord's will along the way. At the name of Jesus, one day, and maybe quite soon, every knee shall bow. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So be encouraged by these words you've heard this morning. Keep believing and grow even stronger in faith, remembering those famous and amazing words that you know anyway from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So, it might be happening again, as with Matthew 22, verses 1 to 14, but we shall and must stand firm as true and faithful believers and followers of our living Christ, our Saviour, our Lord, our King, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So, let's remain firm in faith and keep believing. And may his blessings forever guide us. Amen.